The ILO put out this report in 2023, right? And it said that nearly 3 million people die every year from work-related accidents and diseases.
Yeah, 3 million. It's just a staggering number.
It really is. And the wildest, like, most frustrating part to me is that almost every single one of those facilities probably had some massive binder of safety rules just sitting on a shelf.
Oh, absolutely. Gathering dust.
Exactly. So, you know, why the massive disconnect? Today's deep dive is really about figuring out how we transform industrial safety from that dusty shelf document into, well, a dynamic life-saving loop.
Right, because a safety manual, it shouldn't just be a static list of rules you read once at orientation.
Yeah, it needs to be the active operating system of the facility.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
Because an operating system, you know, it runs constantly in the background. It updates, it adapts to the hardware.
It's alive, basically.
Exactly.
Hmm.
But a static binder is purely reactive. I mean, it usually only comes off the shelf after someone gets hurt.
Which is way too late.
Way too late. To be proactive, you have to look at how risks actually combine on the shop floor long before a failure even happens. It's almost never just one isolated error.
Okay, let's unpack this idea of risks combining. Give me an example of how a seemingly minor issue suddenly spirals.
Well, take a minor machine jam. On its own, it's really just a production nuisance.
Right. You just clear it and move on.
Normally, yeah. But combine that minor jam with, say, a weak machine guard, and then add a supervisor who's pushing hard for a quota. Suddenly, that nuisance escalates into a serious amputation hazard.
Oh, wow. Yeah, the pressure totally changes the context.
It does. The hazard interaction is what kills. And what's fascinating here is that non-routine tasks like setup, cleaning, or maintenance, they actually carry a far higher exposure risk than your stable production runs.
Wait, hold on. So if an operator's running a giant stamping press 1,000 times a shift, you're saying that's actually safer than the maintenance tech who only touches the machine once a month to clear a jam?
Yeah, often, yes.
So are we just, like, focusing all our energy on the routine daily grind and completely ignoring the highly dangerous anomalies?
We really are. The baseline production run is highly predictable, so we get comfortable. The anomaly is where those unpredictable variables collide.
That makes a lot of sense.
You can't just tell the maintenance worker to, you know, be more careful when they're reaching into a jammed machine. Human caution is highly fallible.
Which brings us perfectly to the hierarchy of hazard controls. Because we see so many facilities leaning heavily on PPE, you know, goggles, hard hats, vests.
Oh, yeah. The classic safety gear.
But throwing PPE at a combined hazard is essentially like bringing an umbrella to a flood instead of just fixing the broken dam.
Yes, that is exactly it. And fixing the dam in this case is your engineering control. You physically engineer the risk out of the environment.
So you don't have to rely on human perfection.
Right. Instead of giving someone better gloves to manually deburr a sharp part, you implement a fixed guard. Or, better yet, you change the process so the machine does the deburring automatically.
The hazard literally cannot reach the human.
Exactly.
That's the whole philosophy behind Alodo, right? Lockout. Tag out. You isolate the energy entirely to a zero energy state.
You got it. Mechanical, electrical, thermal, it's all neutralized at the source.
So you aren't just trusting someone to remember to avoid hitting a switch. You're making it physically impossible for the machine to turn on.
But here's the catch. Even a perfectly engineered zero energy state fails if the workplace culture ignores the human element.
What do you mean?
Well, you can install the most advanced lockout hardware on the market. But if an experienced technician routinely bypasses it just to save 5 minutes on a changeover, that engineered dam is going to break.
Right. So how do you bridge that gap? Because the reading really emphasized that a safety rule with no field verification is really just an assumption.
A dangerous assumption.
Yeah. If management writes a lockout procedure but never sets foot on the shop floor to see if it's workable, they aren't managing safety. They're just hoping for it.
You bridge it by creating a completely blame-free reporting culture.
Blame-free. That's tough for a lot of places.
It is, but it's essential. When that technician realizes a guard makes their job impossible and reports a near-miss, leadership has to treat that near-miss as a free lesson.
A free lesson? I like that.
It's a weak signal that the system is failing. If you punish the worker for bypassing the cumbersome guard, you stop getting those free lessons. Everyone just goes quiet.
And then you're flying completely blind.
Exactly. This is the real power of the Plan-Do-Check-Act cycle. It's not just some corporate buzzword. It's a continuous feedback loop.
Plan, do, check, act.
Right. You plan an engineering control, you do the implementation, you check with the operators to see if it actually works in practice, and you act to fix it if it doesn't.
That loop is what connects the boardroom directly to the shop floor. You build a system that learns from its mistakes instead of, you know, burying them.
Absolutely.
So as you look at your own facility or even your daily routines, ask yourself, are you actually engineering the risks out of your life at the source, or are you just wearing a metaphorical hard hat and hoping for the best?
That's the real question.
It is. And taking that a step further, as we rush to bring AI and autonomous robotics onto the shop floor to supposedly eliminate human risk entirely, are we actually solving the problem, or are we just creating entirely new invisible hazards that we don't even have rules for yet?
Something to definitely think about.
For sure. Well, that's all for today's deep dive.